We're going to open God's word today, and today I'm going to start off in the book of Luke in chapter 17, and in doing so, share with you a couple of the things that the Lord has been just using to challenge me these days, and I hope that in some form it will be a challenge to you. As we start in this morning, in Luke 17, Jesus speaks to his disciples. And what struck me this week is their response to Jesus, which I'll share in a moment. But I'll kind of underline or highlight what the Lord has been sharing with me. These past few weeks, we've been going through something I've called ever-growing, never-slowing, no turning back. And just as we begin this year, we wanted to highlight talking about growth. In the book of Hebrews, we noted that it said, you know, by now you ought to be teachers. Instead, you're still longing, and it's time to move forward. And so as we understand the forgiveness of the Lord and the love of the Lord and what the Lord has done, we're never to stay stagnant in our walk, in our relationship with the Lord. We are to be ever constantly moving and growing forward. And not regressing, not turning back to what once was, but always moving forward towards the Lord, towards his will, deepening, maturing. And as we look at the nature of that word growth today, that's what God's been challenging me with, is how I define growth. If I were honest with you today, if you were to say, how are you doing, or how have you been growing this year? I would try to quantify it with external things that I think highlight growth, right? Growth is an easy thing physically because you could stand next to a meter stick and you could say, you know, this now I'm this tall when last year I was this tall. And so if you were to say, how are you doing? How have you been growing? I'd try to quantify. Well, my devotions are a little more routine. I'm a little more patient. I'm a little more kind. I'm doing this more. I'm reading more. I'm praying more. I'll try to quantify growth with something that I'm doing. And now God is challenging me this week is that growth is not defined if I'm doing more, but am I being more? We often turn the Christian life into something which we call becoming a human doing rather than a human being. And God created us to be human beings, beings who are embodying his life, his truth as he dwells us. And here's what I wanted to note and highlight. That in Luke 17, I'll read from verse 1, and then we'll shine a light on just what the Lord has been shining a light in my heart today. Luke 17, it says, he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him to whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. So let me pause there, because here Jesus again is talking about the importance of children and how they were to not cast them aside or cause them to stumble, but how important they were. He then says this in Luke 17, verse 3, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Now I'm going to pause there because I want you to note something. Here Jesus is saying, listen, these are important things to me. Important how you deal with the children. Important how you deal with your brother or sister. You're going to rebuke. You're going to repent. You're going to forgive. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns, Jesus is highlighting important spiritual activity. But I want you to note something. This is something Jesus wanted to see effectually alive in them. Forgiveness, repentance, the ability to not only come alongside, but rebuke the one who's in wrong. But I want you to note the apostles, when they turn to the Lord and respond to what he says, they don't say, Lord, make me more forgiving. Lord, make me more patient. That's what Jesus wants to see in them. Forgiveness, right? Boldness. Here's their response. Luke 17, verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Again, we've talked many times about the fact that it's not the amount of faith you're called to have, it's the object you're to put that faith in. Even if it's the smallest seed of faith, if it's put in the right object, it will hold you up. But notice in response, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What do you need to be more forgiving? Increase my faith, Lord. What's that word faith? Remember, we always come back to it because it's in Hebrews that it says, by faith, men of old gained approval. That's what the Lord has always been looking for. Faith was that active trust, reliance upon the Lord with your whole heart, soul, and mind. That's faith. God, increase our faith. Today, when I look at, am I growing? I look at things externally. What am I doing? Rather than internally, how am I being? Am I increasing activity or increasing faith, which leads to a better activity? So often I look to be and do, and I find in the church today, and I'm not speaking of our church necessarily, but in a broad term, we can define ourselves by all that we do and try to do more on behalf of Jesus. When Jesus is looking that we might be more in a sense of a deeper heart of faith. There's something I was reading this week, and I'm always personally trying to learn, to grow, to deepen. And this was a quote this past week that really hit home at a time when I'm often trying to do more. And my wife would tell me, get tough. I'll go into, it's like my life can be utter chaos and everything's a disaster. And all of a sudden a switch flips. And what I try to do is I go on a mad spree of cleaning everything up. I'll go and I'll clean up my stuff and file my papers. And all of a sudden I'll get in a very busy streak and do a whole bunch. And what I'm cleaning up is the surface, right? The external chaos is what I'm cleaning up. And for a moment, I feel better. I feel like things are good. Because now, you know, my shop, which is a disaster, can't find any tools because I just lay them where I put them down last, right? I can't find anything. We had a project. I throw everything in a box, throw it back in the shop. Next time I'll organize everything. I'll get everything in its place. And I feel this breath of relief. But here's the problem. Give me 2 or 3 weeks, the disaster returns. Why? Because I was busy doing, fixing the superficial, the outward, not doing the hard work of changing the inward. What's causing me to be an actual disaster? What's causing me to be a lunatic in the rest of my life? I'm so good at getting to the end of myself and then busily cleaning up the exterior and getting myself to a sense of external order. And I'll be honest, it feels great in the moment. But I'll never have lasting real change until I can change the inward? What leads me to the chaos? What is it in me that can't hang a wrench back on the wall, on the peg that says wrench? Because it's, do you know what I mean? If I can't fix that, I'll never find real growth, real change, real challenge. Listen to this. This is something that hit me this week. Feeling the need to be busy all the time is a trauma response and a fear-based distraction from what you'd be forced to acknowledge and feel if you slowed down. And I say that one more time. Feeling the need to be busy all the time is a trauma response, a fear-based distraction from what you'd be forced to acknowledge and feel if you slowed down. You know, interestingly enough, so often when things get tough, when I get to the end of myself, I trigger into the need or the feeling for action and I'll get really busy. So busy that I don't have to negotiate nor think about the route to which what got me there in the first place. And in the church today, we can grow outwardly in our actions physically and totally miss the mark spiritually to what God has. And that's where God is challenging me, is my definition of that word growth. What does it mean to walk in a manner worthy? Because again, we can go to the scriptures. And if you remember, we've read before Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Actions all about the Lord. Actions about the Lord's name, using the Lord's name. And yet the Lord himself never knew them. And as we move forward today, I want to challenge, as we enter this year, just as we've been being challenged these past few weeks in this area, to challenge and change our definition of growth. That as we move forward, growth is not seen by doing more. And you can say, well, that's good, because it's kind of hard to do more as a church when we're all cooped up in our houses or whatever it might be. But the outward will never come before the inward is sound and set. When Jesus says, hey, you need to be more forgiving, here's the prayer. Lord, if I need to grow in something, increase. And that part of me, the dependence in me that is willing and ready to rely on you. A couple of things that I've been reading this week that have just hit home in new ways. One of them is this: spiritual development is not an accomplishment, but a way of life. An author, S.B. Ferguson, wrote it this way. No one enjoys being cross-examined or accused of having something wrong in their lives. But he goes on and says it this way. But as we grow as Christians, we come to the painful recognition that we have an almost unlimited capacity for self-deception. We slowly learn that we need to be stopped in our tracks by God. He uses his word, his scripture, to do this. And we cannot reach our destination if we are traveling in the wrong direction. You see, growth is not found in the number of books you read, nor the variety of sermons you hear, nor the amount of religious conversations in which you mix. But it is the frequency and earnestness with which you meditate on these things until the truth in them becomes your own and a part of your very being that ensures your growth. If today my growth is defined by the number of sermons I listen to, programs I attend, prayer meetings I participate in, hours, minutes, what I need is not more repetition, but a lifestyle in which the truths that I'm hearing, the truths that I'm learning, become a very part of my being. That's growth. Not am I doing more this year? Am I trusting more this year? Am I willing today to lean on and rely on the Lord a little more than yesterday? As I put that mustard seed of faith in the Lord, am I willing to rely on him just a little more today than yesterday with the relationships that I have, with the amount of finances I have, with the occupation I have, with all the many areas and spheres in my life? Today, growth is increasing faith. And I hope that we can come to a point and place where that is what we seek more than anything external. We're always brought back to James as the great balancing point. And I want to read for you James chapter 2, because in it we read this: "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" What does that mean today? God's call for forgiveness: as long as your brother returns, sinning 7 times a day, forgive. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, today, here's the prayer. May we have that faith which doesn't just lie in theory, theology, but comes out in actual true dependence. It takes faith to forgive, because you're trusting God, whether they've failed, whether they've hurt, you're placing your hand, yourself in God's hands and saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll forgive. Does faith not only reside in, but growth is achieved as that faith, practical application, comes out. Actively trusting, not just in word, not just in thought. That's another thing my wife points out often, is there'll be a decision to be made. And what happens is I get stuck in the hamster wheel, and she'll say, "Hey, have you thought about such and such?" And I'll say, "Yes, I have." And my thinking about it is me going, "Wow, I really need to think about that issue. I really need to think about that issue. I really need to think about that issue." I'm thinking about it, but I'm never actually actively what? Moving forward, addressing, actively trusting. And so today, as we look to the Lord, I pray that in these days ahead, we would see and define our growth as a church, corporately and personally. Not always in what's seen externally, because the root base work is done internally. It happens from the inside out. It starts with that relationship of faith with the Lord. God, increase. May I be willing to trust you more today than yesterday. place in your faithful hands myself, my circumstances, my family, my career, my hardships. May I rely on you today more than yesterday. And may people not see simply religious activity, right? That's the danger. That's Romans 14, 23. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Not contradictory, but complementary to James chapter 2. Why? Because it reminds us of this, that if you simply give and clothe the poor and feed those who lack their daily food, you can completely miss the mark. Because if it's not rooted in faith, it misses what God has for you. God longs for dependence. God longs for activity sourced in Him. And it's not the activity that makes me righteous, but a righteous heart that makes the activity approved before God. You see, approved activity is helping the orphan and the widow and the poor that stems from a heart of faith. The heart that says, I'm giving out of sacrifice because the Lord has first given me. The unapproved activity is that which says, I'm going to do these things in order that God might find me and approve me. Today, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. And that is this, that today I'm challenged continually and will be constantly in the understanding that growth won't be measured externally until the hard work is done internally. You can exercise your biceps, as one author put it, but if a man does not exercise his soul, he acquires no muscle in his soul, no strength of character, no vigor of moral fiber, nor beauty of spiritual growth. Today, are we busy trying to grow externally, or putting the hard work in to grow internally so that out of that beautiful relationship, good fruit will flow forth? I always love and come back to Colossians and chapter 2. For it says in verse 5, even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline, the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, it says, Colossians 2, verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I remind you again today, these foundational words. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive the Lord? By believing, having faith, and welcoming into your life. Therefore, as you received, so in like manner, so walk in him. How are we to walk today? The same way we began. You started by believing. Faith. How are you to so walk on now? In the very same way, by faith. Sometimes I feel that temptation that faith is what got Christ in my life. But it's my hard work determination that is going to see God's life worked out of my life. No, it's the faith that got God in, and it's the faith that will see God live his life out. I want to remind you, and these are verses I come back to often because I need to hear them, but in Galatians, and again, life verses for me, because I'm always, and this is, as always, a reminder, nothing Nothing new today, but reminders of what's true. Remember Paul's words to the Galatians? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? He says this, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? He goes on, even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Isn't that great? Are you so foolish to think that while you accepted the Spirit by faith, you are being perfected by the work of the flesh? The Amplified puts it, you foolish, bewitched, silly, thoughtless, unreflecting Galatians. Today, have you been duped into thinking that spiritual perfection, God's good growth, will come by one more time of cleaning up the external, hanging up the wrenches? Or are you ready to come to that point and place to do the hard work where you learn that you'll never reach your final destination if you're headed in the wrong direction? Today we are being perfected by faith. The same faith that brought Jesus in is the faith that will see Jesus' life come out. And I hope that our growth would be defined not by activity for Jesus, but that divine activity that comes from Jesus. Joining him in what he's already doing, not trying to do new things on his behalf. And that's the big question. What's the Lord doing? Today, where do I need to embrace the Lord for that which he's embraced me already? What's he asking me to do, Lord? But what's the Lord asking me to do in which I need to say, Lord, increase my faith? Is he asking you to forgive today? Here's the question. If he's asking you to forgive a brother or sister that you're questioning whether they deserve forgiveness, perhaps the prayer today is, Lord, may I trust you enough? May I rely on you today to be that vessel of forgiveness that you desire to be in me? If God's asking you to not only forgive, or maybe it's to give, and you're questioning whether you have enough, you're willing, you're able, Lord, may I see my faith come to a place where I would rely on you, where my gift comes from that ultimate dependency that you've given me everything. Perhaps the Lord's asking you to go somewhere and you're afraid. And it's not just going, it's, Lord, may I have that dependence on you that whatever I find on the other side, I know you're my good. I know you're my security. I know you're my acceptance. I know you're my all in all. Where's the road headed? And perhaps that's the point and place of conversation today as we look at the nature of defining true growth. not in what we're doing for the Lord, but how we're deepening our abiding in the Lord. Not how much activity outwardly, but the inward root of an activity that stems from a relationship with Him. What are your thoughts? I'm going to open it there and just give opportunity. Are there any challenges? What does that mean? Are there areas where you see it hard to trust the Lord right now? To have faith that God is big enough to put yourself in that place where you're saying, okay, Lord, my faith is in you. Ever increase that faith. Where are the temptations to try and perfect myself on his behalf, like the Galatians? In by faith, but working out by the work of the flesh. Any thoughts or ideas? I just open those questions up. Again, I can only share with you what God's been kind of highlighting and sharing with me. But what are your thoughts? I'd love to hear. Maybe there's some scriptures that come to mind, some thoughts, some testimony of where you're seeing the Lord's challenge in your life. Some things we can bring to prayer. I'll leave it there for the moment and love to hear what you're thinking.